To Canberra now, where the Senate this morning voted down the federal government's emissions trading scheme. The government failed to convince any non-government senators to back the legislation, but the Climate Change Minister Penny Wong told the Senate that the government will press ahead with the reform for as long as it has to.
We will bring this bill back before the end of the year because it is the right thing to do. We will bring this bill back before the end of the year because it is the responsible thing to do. We will bring this bill back before the end of the year because we on this side understand we have to start the economic transformation we need. And we will bring this bill back before the end of the year because if we don't, this nation goes to Copenhagen with no means to deliver our targets. And if we don't, the message to Copenhagen would be that Australia is once again going backwards on climate change.
And that's the Climate Change Minister, Penny Wong. Well, if the government is to get its legislation through before the end of the year, it'll have to sit down and negotiate. It's most likely that the government will seek to strike a deal with the Liberal Party because the Senate Nationals and Family First Senator Steve Fielding don't support an emissions trading scheme at all, and the Greens want a much tougher bill. The opposition leader, Malcolm Turnbull, joins us now in Canberra to speak to our chief political correspondent, Lyndall Curtis.
Mr. Turnbull, welcome to The World Today.
Great to be with you.
Are you the government's best shot at getting this legislation passed in November?
Well, I think Penny Wong talked about a lot of things she was going to do before the end of the year, and one of the things she really must do is start negotiating. It really is remarkable that she has gone right through this year and refused to negotiate or have any discussions with the coalition about the bill. And we put forward proposals, we put forward some very constructive suggestions, we put forward a report only a few days ago which showed some alternatives that would make for a scheme that was greener, cheaper and smarter. A greener, cheaper and smarter scheme, and she just dismissed it out of hand and said it was a mongrel idea.
She says she's prepared to negotiate in good faith. You've said as much yourself. How soon can you develop amendments and sit down and talk to her?
Well, we have actually set out a number of principles that she has a perfectly good basis for negotiation now. The issues that we've raised throughout the year, right at the beginning of the year, I raised this important issue about agricultural offsets or green carbon. This is one of the big deficiencies in the bill. You know, in the United States, agricultural emissions are not included, but agricultural offsets, investments which increase soil carbon, biochar, environmental forestry, are very much included and encouraged, and a lot of other measures. Now, Penny Wong and Kevin Rudd have decided to deny Australian farmers those opportunities, deny our environment and the world's environment those massive opportunities for abatement. I've been trying to talk to them all year about that, and they won't discuss it. So if she has a change of heart and wants to sit down and negotiate with us, that would be terrific.
You have said you will develop amendments. How soon can you do that?
Well, we will work through them over the next few weeks and months. But it depends, Lyndall, on how Penny Wong is actually talking about in terms of amendments. I mean, normally the way differences like this are negotiated is the party that the government's seeking to get support from sets out the issues of principle that it has concerns about, as we have done in our 9 principles that we set out or restated just recently, and we sit down and work on amendments together. Now, if Penny Wong is saying she will not have any discussion with us until such time as we present formal legislative amendments, then that will take some time. But this is really pedantic, bloody-mindedness, stubbornness on her part. I mean, we've said, for example, we want to have green carbon included. We want Australian farmers not to be disadvantaged by an unfair emissions trading scheme in Australia that disadvantages them versus American farmers. Now, once you agree on that principle, then you can get the draftsmen and women off to do their work.
Your Senate leader, Nick Minchin, has called today for the legislation to be put in the deep freeze until Copenhagen. He says it would be reckless and irresponsible to pass it before then. If you get proposals up for negotiation, can you get his agreement on those?
Oh, certainly. Everything that we're doing has been all of our proposals and principles have had the support of the whole shadow cabinet, which, of course, Nick's a very distinguished member. Nick is quite right in saying the scheme ideally should not be concluded until after Copenhagen. I mean, that really is the best time to reconsider this legislation, because by then, and we're only talking about the difference of a few months, Lindell, we will then know, if this scheme were to come back for final consideration, for example, in February, when the Parliament comes back in February, we would know then what the American legislation looked like, because we would have heard from the US Senate. So far, we only know what the US House of Representatives bill looks like. And we would know what Copenhagen had agreed or not agreed. So we would be able to make a much more informed decision. Now, Ivo de Boer, the head of the UN Framework on Climate Change Secretariat, who's the head UN person on climate change, has said you do not need to go to Copenhagen with concluded legislation on an emissions trading scheme. And it's quite likely the Americans won't have concluded their legislation. What you need is a commitment to targets. Mr. Rudd has some targets, and we have supported him on them.
If we can get back to what Senator Minchin said, he said it will be reckless and irresponsible to pass the bill before Copenhagen, yet you're prepared to entertain the idea of doing this.
Well, we have to deal in the real world. I mean, the reality is that if the government comes back with their legislation in November, we've got to have an answer to it. Now, Senator Minchin and I absolutely agree that it would be better for the legislation to be dealt with early next year, but both of us have to confront the reality, the real-world situation of Kevin Rudd bringing the bill back in November, and he's doing that for political purposes because he wants to get a double dissolution trigger so he can have an early election before next year's budget. I mean, let's face it, that's what he's on about. I mean, why would anyone, just think about this, given that the scheme is not going to start in full force until 2012 with proper trading, and it's going to have a sort of soft start in 2011, why would you make a decision in November as opposed to February when the difference of 3 months would enable you to be fully informed in making that decision? None of us, for the sake of 3 months in our own lives, would choose to make a less rather than a more informed decision. And that's the recklessness that Nick Minchin's talking about. And this is the point we've been making all year. Let's make an informed decision.
On another issue, a report prepared for the Henry Tax Review has apparently recommended that vehicles be taxed on how far they drive. While it would hit hardest people such as long-haul truck drivers, is it one way to send a signal about the impact of driving on the environment?
Well, Lindell, this is just a newspaper report, so I don't want to, take it too far other than to say if it is as reported, it would work enormous unfairness. I mean, there are many people in Australia, particularly those in rural and regional Australia, who have to drive very long distances on very unsatisfactory roads, in many cases, on dirt roads. Why should they be penalised because of where they live? Now, all of the real answer, if you want to reduce congestion in the cities, I can tell you this, and I'm a passionate supporter of public transport, is you've got to invest more money in public transport that provides an alternative. But slugging people who have to drive hundreds of kilometres every day as part of their work in the bush, there's no justice in that.
Malcolm Turnbull, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
And that's the opposition leader Malcolm Turnbull speaking to our chief political correspondent Lyndall Curtis in our Canberra studio.